Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Agastya Prag Duhitaram Upayeme Drita Ratam Yasyam Dridhachchuto Jata Idmava Hatmajo Muni Agastya Prag Duhitaram Upayeme dritavratam Yasyam dridhachyuto jata Idma vahatam hatmajo muni Agastya pragduvritaram Upayeme dritavratam Yasyam dridhachyuto jata Idma vahatmajo muni Agastya, the great sage Agastya. Prak, first. Duhitaram, daughter. Upayeme, married. Dritavratam, taken to vows. Yasyam, through whom? Dridhachyuta, named Dridhachyuta. Jata was born. Idmavaha, named Idmavaha. Atmaja, son. Muni, the great sage. Translation. The great sage named Agastya married the firstborn daughter of Malayadvaj, the avowed devotee of Lord Krishna. From her one son, was born, whose name was Dridhachyuta. From him another son was born, whose name was Idmavaha. Purport. The name Agastya Muni is very significant. Agastya Muni represents the mind. The word Agastya indicates that the senses do not act independently, and the word Muni means mind. The mind is the center of all the senses, and thus the senses cannot work independent of the mind. When the mind takes to the cult of bhakti, it engages in devotional service. The cult of bhakti, Bhakti Lata, is the first daughter of Malayadwaj, and as previously described, her eyes are always upon Krishna. Asitek shanam. One cannot render bhakti to any demigod. Bhakti can be rendered only to Vishnu, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Thinking the absolute truth to be without form, the Mayavadis say that the word bhakti can apply to any form of worship. If this were the case, a devotee could imagine any demigod or any godly form and worship it. This, however, is not the real fact. The real fact is that the bhakti can be applied only to Lord Vishnu and his expansions. Therefore, bhakti lata is dridavrata, the great vow. For when the mind is completely engaged in devotional service, the mind does not fall down. If one tries to advance by other means, by karma yoga or jnana yoga, one will fall down. But if one is fixed in bhakti, he never falls down. Thus, from bhakti lata, the son Dridachuta was born. And from Dridachuta, the next son, Idmavaha, was born. The word Idmavaha refers to one who carries wood for burning in a sacrifice when approaching a spiritual master. The point is that Bhakti Lata, the cult of devotion, fixes one in his spiritual position. One so fixed never comes down, and he begets children who are strict followers of the Shastric injunctions, as said in the Vedas. Tat vijyanartam tat sugurum iva vivakachet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. In the line of devotional service, those who are initiated are strict followers of the Vedic scriptural injunctions. So, here then the point coming up is that if the mind is connected to devotional service, then there's all good fortune. That the mind is connected to something other than devotion, that will always be a source of anxiety. The idea that the material nature can give us some satisfaction, can make us happy, can in any way be beneficial on its own, is an illusion that the living entity struggles with from the time of coming into the material creation. Because whatever's happening is happening due to being the reflection of the spiritual world. It's so designed to not actually, it's designed because of its temporary nature that nothing can actually be satisfying. Because it's a reflection, it's not supposed to be. One could say, well, God could have made it like that. Yes, he could. But why would he? The spiritual world's already there. One doesn't qualify for the spiritual world. Why make another place that's just exactly the same? Right? So that's the point, is that there's always something different. Basic things are going on. You have a place to stay, you have, you know, some food to eat, there's some relationships, you have some work. So in that way you can say that the prison is the same as the, you know, the regular world. But it's restrictive. It's not designed for your happiness. It's designed for reformation. So now it's not that the criminals don't try to make a nice situation in the prison. It's not that they don't try to arrange something to get some special perks or some special authority or some social status. That's going on. Right? So amongst them, they'll consider this is normal. This is, you know, a happening society here. And by making arrangements, I can be happy. I can satisfy myself. But how happy can you be in a situation in a prison? So the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So it's designed that it's not the full thing. Because how can it be if you're trying to get the full thing out of something that cannot produce the full thing? Right? Does that make sense? You have some food, and then somehow or another we become attracted to pictures of food. Like, you know, in a cookbook, they make some pictures look very nice. And so you think you can satisfy your hunger, the taste, everything from those pictures. Will you ever be successful? No, you can't be. So it's not a matter of, oh, but maybe if you just do it, maybe if we turn the book upside down or look at it sideways, or, you know, lie on the back and hold it above us, or maybe we put a strobe light on it, or, you know, do something, maybe we'll get something out of it, but it's not going to happen. So that's the material world. It can't happen. It's a reflection. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't get anything out of the reflection. So here, the point is the mind, then connected to devotional service, that's where things become proper. So when the mind is thinking how everything is connected to Krishna, then it becomes perfect. So what happens is we're looking at the material world with the idea that there is the option to do something outside of devotional service and be happy, right? The mind doesn't do something that doesn't make it happy, right? Even if being miserable, you know, will make you happy, the mind will make you miserable. Right? The point is that the mind is only looking for how it will be happy. That's the bottom line. So the reason that we look at the material world with the idea to enjoy it is the mind thinks, this will make me happy. Right? This is called liberation. Right? When the problem stops, ha, yes. But actually, that's the normal position, you know. You don't walk around going, ha, all day, right? You know. So, yeah, this is as good as it gets. The material world is when the problem goes away for that moment, and you go, ah, that's nice. Right? But after 5 minutes, we won't be thinking like that. So then, the mind is looking, what can I get out of something? How could I enjoy? How could I be happy? But the difficulty is that it's not possible. The mind has this idea, we have this philosophy that, yes, I can be happy. So therefore, we put things together and try to make a happy situation from it. Right? But the difficulty comes is that it's not possible. Right? So that's why it's the position recommended is satisfaction. You can be satisfied because that has nothing to do with the situation. That has to do with yourself. Right? Happiness depends on the situation. I want something. When it happens, I'm happy. Right? Like we want the noise to stop. When it stops, we go, ah, nice. We're happy. That's how the material world works. But satisfaction is, whatever's there, whatever the situation, that's nice, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Right? Then one's not disturbed. So devotional service is recommending that because on the material platform, you can't be happy. You can only be satisfied. On the spiritual platform, one can be happy because there's something positive, there's something real there for the soul to actually interact with. Right, so then here we here then the connections then from a great personality we see devotional service, right? That is able to be appreciated, and that devotional service then one of the qualities important is the willingness to render service, right? So that's what the Prabhupada was saying. This idmavaha is the mood of someone who is approaching the spiritual master with firewood, right? That's in the Vedic system, that would be the tradition. When you go to the sage in his ashram in the forest, you take firewood, right? Because you were going through the forest, so you can pick some up on the way. It's not that it's going to be a problem. You know, you go down to Tesco's and, hey, do you have any
firewood for sacrifice? Oh, yeah, over on the aisle.
You know, like, it's not like that. You just picture them, and that, when you come, that signifies I'm willing to render service, right? Because the point is okay, everybody wants to know something, but who's willing to apply it in the form of service? That's a student, right? So devotional service then becomes successful when we're willing to render service. When we're absorbed in service, that means we're taking the knowledge of the spiritual master and applying it. That then will be satisfied. So that's what should be the natural next step. So when the mind's absorbed in devotional service, then you're going to render devotional service, right? Just like the mind of Prabhupada's mentioning before, how we got to this position as Prachina Barhishat, because he's always, whatever you're always absorbed in, is what you're going to remember at the time of death. That's just how it works. Why are you absorbed in something? Because you think it's going to do something for you, right? So either in a positive way, that by having this, then I'll be happy, or in the negative way, by getting rid of this, I'll be happy. Either way, whenever you're absorbed in, the only reason the mind will absorb itself in anything, because we think we'll get something from it. If you don't think you'll get something from it, we don't think about it, right? One walks down the street, and there's thousands upon thousands of sensual perceptions being, you know, coming into the mind at any moment. But how many do we think about? Only those ones that we think, this is what I can get something from. Right? Or if it's that guy behind you that doesn't.
So good is, you know, what you can get away from. Right? So in any case, the principle is that whatever you're absorbed in, because you think that's what's going to make you satisfied, that's therefore then what you retain. Right? So the problem with what was mentioned before with Prachina Barhishat, that he's associating with women, is not that being with women is the problem. It's thinking that by being with women, that's going to satisfy the soul. That's the problem. It's just like anything. If I have my car, then I'll be happier. I have nice clothes, then I'll be happier. I have a nice social position or money. Whatever you're thinking of that leads is what's going to actually satisfy the soul, that's the mistake. It's not the position you're in, right? You're not supposed to be. So that's not the problem. It's not that he's grihastha, because we see so many others in grihastha, and that point doesn't come up. The point comes up is because he thinks, this is how I'm going to satisfy myself. This is what's actually going to bring happiness to the moving entity. Therefore, at the time of death, he thinks of women. Right? Because that's what he thought will make him happy. So therefore, next life he'll be fine. So, this is the point, is the mind's going to be absorbed. So we think that it's going to be Krishna, Krishna's service, the Vaishnava.
Right? Then, that's where we take birth, right? So where is Krishna, the devotee's devotional service, always going on? Right? In the spiritual world, right? It means Malaya Dwaj is thinking about women. They'll make you sad. Where's the situation in which you can always be with women? It means always. Right? You have to be a woman, right? If you're not a woman, then you can't always be with women, right? Women don't want you all around all the time, right? There's limited time that's allowed. So, but if you always want to be around, then you have to be one. You know, and even then, it's not necessarily you want them around, but hey, you can't do much about it, right? You know, what are you going to base it on, right? You know, so the difficulty comes is that the living entity, he thinks of the material nature. Therefore, he's again born in material nature, whatever it may be. But if he thinks of spiritual nature, then he's born into spiritual nature. Right? So this is the essential element. It's just simply what the mind thinks is actually going to make me happy. Right? Because situations can't make you happy. Right? Does that make sense? It's the interaction, right? Like Aristasura came into Vrindavan. He didn't say, wow, this place is great. This is going to make me happy. Right? It didn't exactly make him happy. But he was in a great situation. Right? So it's not the situation that makes you happy. It's what you're doing with the situation in relation with relationship to Krishna that can make you happy, or the relation with the situation that will be material and therefore make you unhappy. Right? Does that make sense? The residents of Vrindavan are thinking of Krishna, so they're becoming happy. Aristasura is not thinking of Krishna. I mean, he's thinking, but not in a favorable way. So therefore, in the same situation, he ends up not so happy. Right? Does that make sense? You know, because, I mean, going by the definition that dead is not considered happy, right? You know, like that. Okay, so the mind being absorbed in devotional service and being willing to render service. Right? It means you can see the options and you're willing to be engaged. These things then will make one happy. That will make it. That will work. Any questions? Or... Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. When we think that the material energy can make us happy, we can get a taste that may have similar flavor as happiness by imagining the happiness that we will obtain. No?
No, it's not so much that means we've defined happiness as removal of pain. So if you look at it, happiness is when we get something we want. So we're always making arrangements to get something we want. If I just had this, or I could just adjust the situation, or I could get this paraphernalia, I could get this position, I could get some money, I could get... Then we're always working to adjust the situation. So our interacting with the situation is to adjust the situation, to remove what we consider not proper. You know what I'm saying? You know, the food's on the plate, it's not in your mouth. So you're removing that obstacle. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you have to do it in a cultured way or your mother will send you to bed, right? So you have to do things properly, right? There's a way of dealing with it. But the point is that you're simply removing the pain. That's all we're ever doing. So because everybody's defining it that way, right, by the modes of nature, then we'll say, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, you know, are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. You know, it's good. You know, yeah, Bali, yeah, everything's okay. Yeah, you know, like that. You know, so you go to the hospital, the guy's there, a million tubes and that. How you doing? Yeah, we're okay. It means we're not dead, you know, say we're okay, you know. You know, as long as that little machine keeps...
It's always there. You think in the past, that situation of the past is still present. You think of the future, it's still in the present. The quality of truth that we get. So, one doesn't have to, one is always with Krishna. So then it's just a matter of the pace of being with Krishna. So whether it's with people who are with someone.
With Krishna or separated from Krishna. And the different tastes depending upon the situations that are there, the different interests of Krishna, the different interests of the devotees, and that way it creates all this unlimited variety, but it's positive. Well, here, it's not, but because it's a reflection, it's close enough that we can therefore say the spiritual is like this, we can relate to the spiritual. One, it's inherently our nature, but two is that it's not that far off here, it's a reflection, right? You know, you look in the mirror, it's a nose. Basically, that's what your nose looks like. Maybe you like it, don't like it, but basically, that's the way it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So, we know that we are conditioned to always look for happiness here. So we should just learn how not to look for happiness, or we just try not to be absorbed in those thoughts and just continue?
It means all that is good, but it's a side point. The main point is that the reason that it's not good is because it's not Krishna. You understand? We're not seeing Krishna. So the point is whatever opportunity there is there, it's only opportunities to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? Let's say you go into the kitchen, okay, with the idea of cooking something. Okay, now when you go into the kitchen, there's a lot of things in the kitchen, right? There's a floor, there's cabinets, there's windows, there's ceilings, you know, there's taps, there's refrigerators, refrigerator doors, magnets on the refrigerator thing, pieces of paper under the refrigerator magnets, you know, I mean, this goes on and on and on. So how many things in the kitchen can you actually eat? You understand? It's actually limited. For the volume and the size of the kitchen, the amount of things that are edible, it's not that much. You can put it on the counter. It's just this little area. But the volume of the kitchen is very great. So do you ever, like, you know, just, you know, you're just holding yourself back because you'd really like to chew on that, you know, refrigerator magnet, you know? It looks really good, you know? It's like that. You understand? We don't do that. So we look in the kitchen. You look past the room itself, all the cabinets and that, all the pots and pans, to actually something that, you know, at least according to our opinion, is edible, right? Does that make sense? So that's the principle that you're using. So it's not that. Well, I have to, you know. So do I practice by not getting, you know, absorbed in the, you know, take a bite out of that? You know, it looks like such a nice Teflon. Look at that. Look at the handle on this, you know. I mean, wouldn't that be, it's just so tasty, shiny and everything. It's got a nice hole, you can hang it up. And, you know, right? You understand? It's not how the mind works because it doesn't see it as an option. So it's not, it means the idea that we're working from, means you can get to something, means the ideal is from the positive. That's the direct method. Through the indirect, through the negative, that's also works. But it only works if it reminds you of the positive. So, okay, I don't get absorbed in these things of sense gratification because of Krishna. But if it's just I don't get absorbed in sense gratification, then if you're successful at it, then, you know, great, it's pious, but you'll become very dry as a person. Right? Does that make sense? That's why sometimes, I don't understand, he's so controlled, he's so this and that, but, you know, as a person, they're not so wonderful to be with. Why? Because wonderfulness is Krishna. Not wonderful is not anything that, you know, we don't see in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? So, in other words, the only benefit of seeing the negative is that then we could see the positive. Does that make sense? So therefore, when we see the material world, it's a matter of, okay, those things that we have a tendency towards, those are only options for serving Krishna. Right? And since it's for Krishna's pleasure, it has to be favorable to Krishna. Right? So then how would Krishna want this situation engaged in Krishna's service? Does that make sense? Right? So then it just makes it the material world is options for serving Krishna rather than options for, you know, serving ourselves. Does that make sense? So therefore then the range of facility, right? So for the brahmachari, it's quite narrow, right? So therefore, basically, except for a few things, there's nothing for him to engage in the Lord's service. So everything else is dropped. You know, just like you go into the kitchen, you have all kinds of nice grains and this and that. But if it's a codicil, you don't. It's like they don't even exist. It's like they're there, but you know, that's not what you use. So in the same way, it's not your duty. It's not something you use. The grihastha then has that wide range. But the point is it's still the range which is within his duty. Right? Does that make sense? Like just say, the grihastha sees a very attractive looking woman, okay? So how to deal with that woman, you know, according to what would be pleasing to his wife? Not to deal, right? So therefore, you know, yeah, so that's how it works. You understand? So that's everything. So is it your duty? Is it, means, the point is the girl's attractive, so that means for someone who wants to marry her, then that's fine. Then he'll interact with her. But all the rest of them he doesn't interact with, unless there's some actual purpose. But if he interacts in such a way that his wife is not happy, then what's the use? Understand? Even though it's something you could do. So in the same way, it may be an option, but if it's not your duty, you don't get involved. So therefore, brahmacharis see the world, what's available in one way, grihasthas see it in another. Right? Does that make sense? Sometimes the same things are used differently. Does that make sense? Right? It means the man is walking, he sees his wife, so what does he do? He walks over, right? The brahmachari sees a very nice, attractive girl, he walks the other way. You know, so both of them are interacting the way according to their nature. So same thing. So, but something, it's just, you don't, it's not your duty. Does that make sense? So the idea is the material world is just seen for what are the options for serving Krishna and what are my options. So why make this distinction? Why not just only see what's my options? Because if you don't see what are the options, it means not that you have to train, but if you're not able to accommodate the options, then you're not going to be able to accommodate someone else's engagement of the material energy in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? This guy, he talks to this lady, that one talks to that lady. You know, so therefore, someone's doing it. For the brahmachari, the men are talking to the lady. Fine, that's what they do. Or the brahmacharis aren't, so therefore, then the grihasthas don't have a problem. You understand? So everybody understand what are the duties, but then what is my duty? Right? Because at this stage, I'm at this point, but I started here and I'm going to go there. So we're going to move through the duties. Does that make sense? That's why the Varnashram system is recommended, because then it shows what are duties. Otherwise, it's just whatever you feel like. But what are duties? Then, what is your duty? So that then is another level of self-realization. So what is my conditioning of the body, of the mind, the intelligence? Right? So therefore, what are my duties in the situation? Right? And then what are others' duties in the situation? They may be different. So if they're the same, you have common ground. If they're different, what's the etiquette? You know what I'm saying? So that's why the system is there, is because the material world isn't for us to look at for sense gratification. Because we want sense gratification, then these rules get in the way because they restrict. But if you're trying to get out of the material world, it makes it so that we can function using the world. Otherwise, we'll tend to, you know, neglect it or not do things properly. Does that make sense? Okay? Yeah. This side. Very well.
I have a question. You were saying about happiness and how it can be just a removal of pain. And I was thinking...
How it can?
How it is, yeah. In the material world.
Good choice.
but I was thinking also of people who are really in the mode of goodness, and their happiness is really like refined and like, it's just, you know, beauty and everything is just clean, and even people who go by Vedic principles and things like that, it's sattvic.
Right.
And it doesn't seem so much like maybe more happiness in the mode of ignorance or passion even. It's really like it's much more fine, and I've met a lot of people throughout my life who are in that mode of goodness, like sattvic, maybe they've studied something or they're a doctor. Or, and so they're saying, I'm happy, and I don't really know how to speak with them about that, like, because I really relate with that.
But is that happiness so that's more just satisfaction, because it's nice? In other words, if it's nice, then you say, yeah, that's happy. Because, so what does it mean? Would they be happy if their situation wasn't nice? You know what I'm saying? They're living in their nice area of town and everything like that. You know, drive them around the corner and drop them off at Canal Street. Are they going to be happy? You understand? Then their anxiety starts. Does that make sense? You're sitting on the Upper West Side. You're happy. Why? Because there's no problems that you would consider an obstacle. So the mode of goodness means there'll be less and less obstacles. Mode of passion means there's going to be a lot of obstacles, because you want something. Due to impatience, everything's an obstacle, right? But you're going to deal with it. Mode of ignorance means everything's an obstacle, but you can't deal with it, right? Mode of goodness means there's minimal obstacles because you're doing what you're supposed to do. Mm. So there's the happiness of being, you know, so that being conditioned to happiness is that there is no things that get in the way. So it's a neutral state. But the problem is then when it comes to devotional service, are they willing to take up, you know, deal with obstacles to do, to accomplish some service for Krishna? You understand? That's where you see it gets in the way. You understand?
Yeah, because I see sometimes even people in the mode of goodness, they're happy, and then if they want to start being devotees or Krishna conscious, is like suffering.
Yeah.
Like sometimes being a devotee is suffering.
No, being a devotee, you're aware of what actually is going on. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say I put you in a room where there's tons of loud music, right? There's millions of people bumping into each other, okay? There's all kinds of bright lights, or it's too dark, right? And, you know, and people are, you know, just trying to get things on their own done. They just, they're in that situation just to fulfill their own desires, right? Does it sound good? No? Okay. But millions of people like to be in this situation. It's called a nightclub. You know what I'm saying? We haven't even mentioned the bouncers, or, you know, the bartender doesn't know what he's doing, or, you know, you ran out of money, or... You understand? So, because material world means it's suffering, but it's just that you start to notice actually what's going on. Because before we thought working hard like an animal was good. Now we notice it's not so great. That's all. We make the mistake of thinking, oh, so things have changed. No, they haven't changed. You've just become aware of what's actually there. You know what I'm saying? Because, and then if we're working on the spiritual platform, then it's dynamic. Okay, great. Now we can work with it. But if it's not the material, then we'll want to pull back out of that situation back into a little more ignorance. Does that make sense? Because the point is, you know, if we function on ignorance as bliss, we'll consider not knowing as better. So sometimes, Prabhupada mentioned, sometimes the jiva just gets tired. So then they pull back in devotional service. Right? Because then they don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about so many things, it's nice, it's that. But the point is the more sophisticated, the more developed means the more things you worry about. You know? Does that make sense? So, therefore, it's not... To be more worried about things is not considered a bad thing, even in the modern society. It's just the more sophisticated, more dynamic. More, it means, in other words, where the mode of ignorance isn't prominent, goodness and passion is prominent, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Means, in other
taking
words,
responsibility for
means those persons you're talking about, you're dealing with goodness and means there's an overall ignorance, of course, in the material world, but their lifestyle, how they think and how they deal, is in goodness and passion. There's not so much ignorance there, because the point is that ignorance means I can't do it, or I just do whatever I want. Means, in other words, those persons that are successful in the world, they are under no illusion that there's such a thing as doing what I want. You understand? People in the mode of ignorance think, I can do whatever I want. You know? Goodness and passion, you know, there are rules. I follow them, I get results. I don't follow them, I don't get results. Right? Why does he have $1 billion? He followed the rules to how a business, how to get it. He follows the rules how to keep it. He follows the rules how to spend it. Does that make sense? Another guy wins a lottery, wins $100 million. Come back in a year, he'll be poorer than he was when he won it. Why? Because he doesn't know the rules. So he thinks, I can do whatever I want. Wow, I got $100 million. So I go over with friends, do this, go on a cruise, buy this, that. And then he bought more than he has money to pay for. And then now what does he do? And then they come back, take everything, and then now he's left sitting there on the street. Right, but the other guy, he gets $100 million. How much will he spend? A few hundred thousand? That's it. right? But the other guy, he has 100 million, and he'll spend 100 million. Why? Because he doesn't know the rules. So that's the whole point, is we're attracted by the professionals in this world. The professionals all know there's no such thing as doing things whimsically. You understand? That's why anybody who thinks I can do whatever I want is actually not successful. Right? It's just the way it works. So that's why motive, goodness, and passion are based on the rules. Right? We'll take passion as just a guy out there like that. No, that's a guy in ignorance. The guy in passion makes his plan, follows the rules, and it gets it done, but he's doing it for himself. The motive, goodness, means he follows the same rules but does it because he's supposed to do it. Right? He's a doctor. He takes care of people because he's supposed to do it. Right? He's a doctor. By taking care of people, I get money. That's motive passion. By ignorance, so I'm the doctor, so therefore I'll take care when I want. I won't take care when I want. And is he successful? No. It's simple. But unfortunately so simple that it's scary. The whole process is exceedingly simple, but it's exceedingly sophisticated. So how sophisticated you are, there's an aspect of the detail of the philosophy to deal with it. And how simple you are, then the fundamentals, because it's a descending process, so fundamentals are higher, then it's enough. Does that make sense? Detail is there because you're coming down into the material world. Right? So the more you're absorbed, the more detail must be there. But the principle is higher. That's why a kid can understand Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, Jai. Haribo. Here, sending. Here, they're sending the mic.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this whole process of Krishna consciousness is a happy one. Susukham
yes.
Partham Aveyam.
Yes.
And we also know that the nature of the soul is Anandamaya Vyasat, full of bliss. So the problem, I guess, we experience is that we're looking for happiness in the wrong place.
Right.
And we've been misled by a desire to control and dominate and then enjoy, trying to be a competitor of Krishna rather than a cooperator. If we adjust that mentality, and this is what Prabhupada says in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, the 32nd to 35th verse, that if we switch our way of seeing the world to, rather than possess things for ourselves, learn how to use things properly in the service of Krishna. And when we become more expert, as Rupa Goswami says, anasakta sivishan yataranam upamujitaha, we can learn to use everything in Krishna's service.
Right.
Prabhupada once said, if you're attracted to pretty women, bring them to Krishna. If you're attracted to eating nice food, then serve prasadam with love and devotion to everyone. So there's a swakarma, inferior swakarma, and superior swakarma. In the inferior swakarma, we have to follow strictly the recommendations in the Varnashram system. The superior swakarma, we understand how to use everything in Krishna's service without a sense of possessiveness. Nirmama nirahankara sasantim adigachati. We become very peaceful by not having a sense of false possessiveness and not having a false ego thinking I'm the owner and controller and so forth. Then everything is happy. Then we actually come to our real position, susukam kartamavyam, anandamaya vyasaya. then nothing is excluded from the Krishna, from Krishna's service. Just like we see Sivananda Sena, he engaged the dog in Krishna's service, and because of that, the dog was liberated by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So it depends on adjusting the way we see things.
Yes. Okay. So it was a comment then? Okay. No. I was just, because it went. You know, you gave the point. You gave all your examples and concluded. So then I figured it was a comment. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you. Anything else? No. Yes. No. Okay. So end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.